We start with the Air Force. The Air Force says it's ready to start training at least some of its enlisted members to fly aircraft. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, the classes are set to begin next month, and the graduates would be the first enlisted pilots in the Air Force's 69-year history.
The Air Force hopes to use the non-commissioned officers as at least one of its answers to the problem of an overworked, understaffed cadre of unmanned aircraft pilots. But officials say the enlisted flyers will be brought in under a slow, cautious approach. The initial class will be made up of just 4 students, all of whom have experience as sensor operators or with some other aspect of the unarmed RQ-4 Global Hawk, the only platform the Air Force is allowing enlisted pilots to fly. 2 more groups of 4 airmen each will begin the training in the following months for a total of 12 enlisted pilots in the Enlisted Pilot Initial Class, or EPIC, program. Lieutenant General Daryl Robertson, the commander of Air Education and Training Command, says at least at the outset, the training will be identical to what officers who are trained on remotely piloted aircraft receive. That's 6 to 7 months of instruction at Joint Base San Antonio, followed by 4 to 5 months at a formal training unit.
Following that beta test, this training class, this initial class, then we'll make any adjustments that we see are necessary before we start the real full-up RPA program for our enlisted force. All 4 of the very first class that begins next month are very experienced and even familiar with RPA operations. Tech sergeants, master sergeants, who are either already sensor operators for other RPAs or are in some way very familiar with the operations that occur. By the time we get to the 12th EPIC member, we are bringing in somebody who is not familiar, never been exposed to it, and comes from a different training area, so that we get the full gamut of somebody who really knows, you know, what's going on, all the way to somebody who's never been exposed to it in these EPIC courses, and then we'll take a look at the results using what we already know works, And then we'll decide if we need to make any adjustments.
The Air Force says it's keeping its mind completely open about which portions of the existing force its enlisted pilot program will eventually draw from. Last month, officials said they were opening applications to members from all military applications, or Air Force specialty codes. Robertson tells me it's too early to tell if any particular communities are showing more interest than others.
I know there is generic excitement across the Air Force from the enlisted force about the opportunity that this presents. And so they're following it very closely, and we're going to eventually get to where this will be open to anybody, as you mentioned. You know, the second part of your question, you know, to be honest, there is nothing that we have seen to date that's going to limit one AFSC out of this process, but that's part of the reason we're doing these EPIC classes, is to make sure we understand if there are some constraints or issues that we're either to overcome them, able to overcome them, or we start looking at how we would make sure we've got the right person for the job.
As another part of the Air Force's so-called Get Well plan for its community of unmanned aircraft pilots, its secretary and chief of staff also ordered Robertson's command to double the number of officers it trains each year. AETC officials say they've succeeded in doing that. The training pipeline grew from 192 pilots per year to 384 in 2016. The Air Force also said last month that it would offer retention bonuses of $35,000 to entice its existing drone pilots to stay in the military. With regard to the Air Force's shortage of qualified fighter jet pilots, its top officer called that problem a crisis last month. Brigadier General Andrew Croft, AETC's Director of Plans, Programs, Resources, and Requirements, says the training command is taking several steps to train new pilots to replace those the Air Force is losing to the commercial airline industry. For example, 2 former F-16 squadrons at Kiel Air Force Base that had been scheduled to be farmed out to various active and reserve commands will instead be dedicated to AETC as training units.
It's a multi-tiered effort. So in one, at the beginning, we're going to increase pilot training production to 1,375 pilots a year. We're on that ramp right now. That's about a 15 to 20% increase. We're also increasing the number of pilots we put through the T-38 track, which allows us to make them fighter pilots, or in the future pull them back into the fighter. And then the other one is at fighter formal training units, we're going to increase the percentage of fighter pilot production right away from 10 to 20%, depending on what those units are able to do to start producing more fighter pilots across the board. and then you're going to absorb more into the fighter pilot pipeline. So in addition to the F-16s that we just mentioned, that's the other ongoing efforts, and that's an effort to try and ramp up that production. It's happening. So the 10 to 20% is happening right now. The UPT ramp-up is happening right now. The T-38 transition is happening right now. It's just going to scale up over time.
Even more broadly, the Air Force has had to ramp up its overall recruiting in what officials say has been a very competitive environment. That's in order to meet Air Force Secretary Deborah Lee James' push to grow the service from 310,000 active-duty airmen to 317,000 by the end of fiscal year 2016 to relieve what she says are strains throughout the force. Robertson says the Air Force will meet that added recruiting target by next week, when the fiscal year actually ends, but just barely. The Air Force had to recruit 31,000 new airmen this year compared to 24,000 last year.
As any airman retires or separates from the Air Force, basically we have to replace that airman. And so not only did we have to replace all the airmen that were leaving, but we had to add additionally to what was 310,000 another huge amount to get us up to 317,000. So that takes all of this into account. This is retirement. We have models that predict reenlistment. We have models that predict separations and retirements, and we use those models to predict how many we're going to need as we go through the year.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.